Hi there, everybody. Welcome to The Principal Entrepreneur. I'm your host and author of the upcoming book, How to Be a Great Principal, Jonathan Royce. This is episode 87 of The Principal Entrepreneur, where we support educational leaders with strategies and suggestions that answer the question, how do I become a great principal? I also interview principals in school and educational leaders just like me and you and discuss their areas of expertise and how they overcome the challenges within schools. In today's episode, we're talking with national presenter, podcast host, educational leadership coach, CEO of Perfect Time SHP, and author, Dr. Sharon Porter. Dr. Porter is the author or co-author of at least half a dozen books. Today, we're going to talk about her newest one, Next in Line to Lead, The Voice of the Assistant Principal. We'll get into the inspiration for that book a bit later in the conversation, but before we do so, let's get into her origin story. Dr. Porter, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad we're able to have some time to connect with our busy schedules. We're going to talk about your book here in a few minutes, but before we do, tell us how you got into education in the first place.
Well, I'll tell you. First, it goes back actually to my fourth grade teacher, believe it or not. She was so inspiring. I'm originally from North Carolina, and I had an amazing fourth grade teacher, and I can vividly remember the day that I sat there on the floor while she was reading The Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing by Judy Blume and said, I'm going to be a fourth grade teacher. That's what I said, and I stuck with that. And that year was just amazing for me. And so I actually became a teacher because of my fourth grade teacher. And it just went from there. So I just attribute all of that to Miss Mullet. I have to say her name. I appreciate her for instilling in me the love of teaching and the love of education.
So were you able to connect with her back when you finished?
I connected, and it was so ironic. She has a daughter. We were in the same grade, and I connected with her daughter on Facebook about 5 years ago, and I sent her this long message and told her to please tell your mother that I am where I am because of her. And so that was such a relief for me because all of these years I have been wanting to connect with her to let her know that. And so I feel very fortunate that I was able to do that. I have not spoken directly with her, but I did relay the message through her daughter. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that's one of those things that as educators, we never know that impact unless somebody, you know, does go back or come back and say, you know, I appreciate what you did and this, I am where I am because of you. And oftentimes it slips our mind until, you know, it's too late. And then we're like, oh man, I wish I would have been able to. That's great that you were able to reach out to her.
Yes, absolutely.
So you were inspired by your fourth grade teacher. So at that point you knew you were going to be a teacher. You went through all the stages to become a teacher. What led you to the principalship?
So, you know, and while I was a teacher, I really observed all of the individuals around me that were in higher positions, and I would listen to the bios of individuals, presenters that would come to the school. I really took note of that because what intrigued me was that they held so many different positions. And I said to myself, if I ever move to the principalship, because at the time it was not something that I desired to do, but I said I wanted to be able to have different positions under my belt so that I would have a more global look at the principalship.
Right.
And so as I did that, that's when I realized that, hey, I could really do the job because as an assistant principal, I didn't really know if I could do the job. But after I was an assistant principal, I held two different central office positions before becoming a principal. And it was the last position as a regional instructional specialist where I assisted principals and assisted the associate superintendent on principal issues that I realized, hey, I can do this. And I applied and I was a principal for 9 years and enjoyed it.
So in those 9 years, what was your biggest challenge, that one thing that you think back to and was like, man, that had a huge impact on me?
You know, I would have to say the politics of the position. That's one of the things that no one really prepares you for. It really depends on the community, where you are, and what's going on in the community. And, you know, if it's an incorporated town, if it has a mayor or a town council, because in my school district, it really varies. And so I would say the most challenging experience I had was really dealing with the politics of the position and just trying to make sure that all the stakeholders were engaged. And you should do that in any, you know, no matter what environment or what community you're in, but just really making sure that all the players were a part of the plan. And I think that was probably my greatest challenge, especially initially as a new principal.
So as you got more familiar with the position, how did you mitigate that challenge of the politics, especially if it's something that you're not inherently, you know, noticing or focused in on?
You know, I would have to say just having clear communication and expectations really helped that, because one of the things that worked for me was transparency. I did not do anything in isolation. And I did include those stakeholders, whether it was the community, whether it was the parents, no matter what, the business partners. So you want to be inclusive and make sure that all stakeholders are at the table, because it really is a partnership, and we have to treat it that way when we're a building principal. We're the leader of the school, but we're not the only investor of the school.
So how did you bring those, or was there a system that you used to bring everybody to the table? Was there something that you now have kind of codified where you have a system in place to bring those stakeholders, or is it just I grab them when I can get them?
No, absolutely. You have to structure those moments. And even with your volunteers or your parent volunteers, community volunteers, there has to be a structure in place. And whether that's a monthly chat with the principal, whether that's the executive meeting with the PTA or PTO or parent board, whatever advisory board that you have, there has to be structure in place. And then when you extend those invitations, you know exactly what you're rolling out. They know exactly what you're rolling out. And then everybody is in the loop. Everybody feels included. Everybody is helping making those decisions because, again, the children, the students, our scholars are the first. They are our first priority. And all decisions have to be made for the best interest of those scholars. And so I think when you invite them in, there has to be a structure in place and a consistent structure. I did monthly meetings with my stakeholders, and I invited whomever wanted to come, but then you also want to extend that specific invitation for those individuals that you know need to be at the table.
Right, right. Did you, how consistently did you include your students as part of that, part of those stakeholders?
Well, you know, so I was a principal at an elementary school, a middle school, and a K-8 school. During my tenure as principal. And so it really depended on the level. So for elementary, not so much, but we did include when we had sixth grade, when sixth grade was the top, they were the representative with representation from each grade level as much as possible.
Right.
For middle school, I had a little more, they had a little more input as sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. And so it really depends on the level. And definitely, if you're a high school principal, you definitely need to have that voice, that student voice, as a part of decisions, because they really bring to the table an insight that maybe you don't have.
Right.
And so, I did try to, middle school definitely, elementary as much as possible.
So if you were to boil that whole, you know, the whole 9 years of experience down in those challenges and what you learned, what's the single greatest takeaway from those experiences?
I would have to say that you, as a school leader, must build and maintain positive relationships. I think that was probably the greatest lesson that I learned during my lesson, during my time as principal, and that I carried on outside of the principalship. You have to build those relationships because, first of all, no one's going to work with you if you're not approachable, if you're not engaging. You have to build and really maintain those relationships and those networks with all of those avenues. So that would definitely be my greatest takeaway from my principalships. Relationships are key.
So I guess the question when you're talking about building those relationships, for me, I'm sure there are, I tend to be on the introverted side of the personality scale. How do you suggest to those of us who kind of land there ways to build those relationships, especially if it's not your natural, your gregarious kind of go-to method of communication?
And that is definitely me. I am a definite introvert, but definitely I have taken measures to make sure that I'm able to do all that I need to do. So number one, planning is very important as an introvert. Like, I know myself, so I know that when I'm going into a situation, I need to be very planned and very detailed because putting me on the spot is not going to work. That is a clear way for me to shut down.
Right.
And so when you're working with groups of people, whether it's parents, whether it's the community, you cannot be that. You have to put on that game face, and you have to be that people person. And so I plan out every detail because it is difficult. And I don't think if you're not an introvert, I don't think people understand the difficulty that we have in just normal, you know, activities. And so planning has really helped me through that. Also, as an introvert, you are drained from a lot of interaction. And so I know that I have to take breaks. I mean, physically drained. Like, it takes my energy when I have to be around crowds and big, you know, and a lot of people.
Right.
And so I know that I need to take my energy breaks. And have some alone time and some self time so that I can recharge and go out there and make sure that I'm being the best leader that I can be, because you cannot be in your introvert zone and be an exceptional leader.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Yes.
So thinking about that, your personality, your professional life, you know, these things inspire our writings. Tell us about the beginnings, or what brought about your book, Next in Line to Lead, The Voice of the Assistant Principal.
Yes, Next in Line to Lead, The Voice of the Assistant Principal really came about when I was completing my lit review for my dissertation. My research was on principal preparation, and I specifically looked at the assistant principals that came through our leadership development programs and that were now new principals. So I looked at 1 to 3 year principals, and they had to come through our leadership programs in my school district. And as I was conducting my literature review, I really wondered, I said, how are other assistant principals across the country being prepared to lead? The focus is on quality principals in every building. So my question is, how are we preparing those who are next in line to lead to be that quality leader? And so I went and I surveyed 9 assistant principals throughout the country and just really had them share their journey and their preparation. And it was phenomenal. And I'm just so excited just to hear all of the things that school districts across the country are doing to prepare these leaders. It's only been about 5 to 10 years that a focus has been placed on assistant principals. And so I'm very glad to add to the work, to the body of work of principal preparation, focused on assistant principals.
So how did you find these 9 assistant principals? Did you break it down into region and just so you could get, you know, a view from each part of the country? How did that come about?
You know, I did not. What I did put out a call mainly on LinkedIn. And I was looking for the criteria was definitely that they had to be actively are looking to become a principal, because, you know, we have some career assistant principals. And so I really wanted to look at the assistant principals who were actively seeking the position of the principalship. And I interviewed them just to make sure they were what I was looking for. They had a series of questions that they needed to answer. And I did try to get a great representation from the Costa across the country. So two ended up being from Maryland, one from California, one from Texas, three from South Carolina, and one from Georgia, and then one from New Jersey. And so with that, there was many similarities, because school districts really are trying to make sure that they are preparing assistant principals. And some school districts don't have anything to prepare school districts. I mean, their assistant principals right. in their school districts. Yeah, so it was really a range through the gamut. Yes.
So, in collecting those stories, was there a theme that ran across some of those experiences, or what are some of the standouts that stick out in your mind?
One of the things that ran through for me was the importance of the principal in that preparation for assistant principal. And that's one of the things that I also found in my dissertation as well, is that it really depends on who that assistant principal's principal is, if they have the capabilities, if they have the knowledge to actually help coach, mentor, and assist that assistant principal in development. It does not matter how many programs you have in a school district or outside of school district. What matters is that day-to-day mentoring and coaching that's provided by that principal. And so I really would just say to principals, if you have assistant principals under your supervision, that you really need to make sure that you are taking the charge of preparing them and not holding on to that knowledge and that they need to grow, because that's what I found out, is that a lot of principals aren't really trying to share
right.
and trying to give them the duties that they need to grow.
Right.
And so that
right.
really was the theme that came through.
Yeah, there are any number of principals that hold that control really
yes.
tightly. Were any of those assistant principals, did they have a systematic way that they kind of brought that assistant principal along, or did each principal kind of have their own personality in preparing that AP for the next step?
Yes, and in my research and as well as in the book, it really depended, again, on that principal, because some principals had their AP sitting with them at every juncture. And so that really makes the difference, especially with my research. One of my findings from that research basically was that when those principals take the time to do what they need to do to those assistant principals, when they come to the take the helm of the principalship, they are much better prepared. Now, and I would tell you and everyone else, nothing is going to 100% prepare you
right, right.
for that position.
Right.
And so that's very important, and I tell my assistant principals that. I don't care what we do. There is nothing going to prepare you until you get there. That's where the preparation is really going to be. And so when the principal really sits down and takes the time to be a mentor, to be a coach, that's where you see the progress in that assistant principal.
Right, right. So if you were going to give one piece of advice from this book or from your own experiences to principals or assistant principals just starting out, you know, I'm in my first year learning new things, what would that advice be?
I would definitely say make sure that you extend yourself and learn all that you can, especially if you're assistant principal. That's my nugget for assistant principal. You have to learn all that you can, and all of that learning is not going to come from your building. So you have to be the aggressor and extend yourself to other mentors, other coaches in your school district, in other places so that you can learn all that you can about the position. And for a new principal, and I go back to the relationship piece because I really think that is key. When you have built those relationships, whether it's with the community, with the parents, you are able to go so much further than not building those relationships. Relationships is king. Relationships is key. So that's my advice for first year or new principals.
All right. Last question for me. You got your own books out there. What are some books that you've read that have had a great impact on you?
Well, I tell you, the first one I would have to say is The Leadership Challenge, Kuntz and Posner. And I was so grateful to get Dr. Posner to do the foreword for my book because his book was so critical in my transition from the assistant principalship to the principalship. So that is one, The Leadership Challenge. The next one I would definitely would say is Leverage Leadership. If you have not read The Leverage Leadership and you are a leader, you really need to get that book and read it. There are so many out there. And I will say Jim Collins' Good to Great and Great by Choice also. I really love the business leadership books because they really are very insightful for the school leadership. I love the parallel to those. So those would be four that I would definitely say has been very transformational for me as a leader, as a school leader.
Dr. Porter, thanks so much for your time. If people want to reach out to you and find out more about you, where can they find you?
Oh, definitely. My website, www.SharonHPorter.com. That lists all of my social media contacts. I'm Sharon H. Porter on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn at Sharon Hogrow Porter. So definitely please reach out.
Once again, that was Dr. Sharon Porter, educational leader, coach, CEO of Perfect Time, SHP, and author of Next in Line to Lead, the voice of the assistant principal. Her advice for new principals included that make sure you extend yourself and learn all that you can. All that learning isn't going to come from your building. Be the aggressor and extend yourself to other mentors, other coaches, and other places. Build a relationship with stakeholders and the community. It enables you to go so much further. She also had some specific advice for introverted principals, and they included make sure to plan and be detailed. Take energy breaks. Have some alone time to recharge. And one of the main takeaways from her book included the importance of a principal letting go of control and giving the assistant principal some room to grow. For a complete rundown of all her great advice, including tweetable quotes, words of wisdom, and strategies for including stakeholders, check out the corresponding blog at howtobeagreatprincipal.com. Just type in Dr. Sharon Porter and a complete summary of the show will pop up. If you're a principal, make sure that you check out the new grant scholarships available that honors the hard work that you put in on a daily basis. K-12 principals, again, go to howtobeagreatprincipal.com, click on grant applications, and find out what you need to do to apply for that grant. For more short articles and tips that support educational leaders, check out my blog at howtobeagreatprincipal.com. And you can also pre-order my newest book there, How to Be a Great Principal, 36 Shared Leadership Success Strategies. If you are an auditory learner, you can download my podcast, The Principal Entrepreneur, weekly. We have two episodes, Tuesday and Thursday, and if I'm lucky enough to have a guest like Dr. Sharon Porter, those come out on Saturdays. If you'd like to join me as a guest, you can email me at jonathanroyce@theprincipalentrepreneur.com. Finally, I'm part of a community of supportive principals. Please join our private Facebook group. Go on over to Facebook, type in The Principal Entrepreneur, and our group will pop up, and I will be happy to add you to our group. That is it for the Saturday edition of The Principal Entrepreneur.